Chapter 53. The captain of the Jade Adventurer, Chan Zhang, had served Qian Shang Maritime Limited for 20 of his 30 years at sea. Tall and thin, with straight white hair, he was quiet and efficient in the operation of his ship. He forced back a smile and spoke to his employer.
"There is your ship, Qian Shang. I can't believe after all these years I'm seeing her at last," said Qian Shang, his eyes locked on the video monitor receiving images from an ROV that was moving over the sunken wreck. "We are very lucky the depth is only 430 feet. If the ship had indeed foundered off the coast of Chile, we'd have found ourselves working in 10,000 feet. It appears the hull is separated in two parts. Not unusual for ships caught in storms on the Great Lakes to break up," explained Chan Zhang. "The Edmund Fitzgerald, a legendary ore carrier, was twisted apart when she sank." During the search, Qian Shang had paced the deck of the wheelhouse restlessly. He appeared impassive to the captain and officers of the ship, but beneath the cold exterior, his adrenaline was pumping madly. Qian Shang was not a patient man. He hated doing nothing but waiting while the ship swept back and forth before finally striking the wreck he hoped was the Princess Do Wan. The tedious search was a torment he could have happily done without. The Jade Adventurer did not look like the usual business-like survey and salvage ship. Her sleek superstructure and twin catamaran hulls gave her more the look of an expensive yacht. Only the stylized contemporary A-frame crane on her stern suggested that she was anything but a pleasure cruiser. Her hulls were painted blue with a red stripe running around the leading edges. The upper works gleamed white. A big ship with a length of 325 feet, elegant and brutishly powered, she was a marvel of engineering, loaded from the keel with the latest and most sophisticated equipment and instrumentation. She was Qian Shang's pride and joy, expressly designed and constructed to his specifications for this moment, the salvage of the Princess Do Wan. The ship had arrived on site early in the morning, relying on the approximate position Zhu Quan had received from St. Julian Perlmutter. Qian Shang was relieved to see only two ships within 20 miles. One was an ore carrier heading toward Chicago. The other, Chan Zhang, identified as a research vessel only 3 miles away, showing her starboard broadside as she moved on an opposite course with uncommon lethargy. Using the same basic techniques and equipment as Pitt and the crew of the Diversity, the Jade Adventurer was only in the third hour of the search when the sonar operator announced a target. After 4 more passes to improve the quality of the recording, the sonar operator could safely say they had a ship on the bottom that, although broken up, matched the dimensions of the Princess Do Wan. Then a Chinese-manufactured ROV was lowered over the side and descended to the wreck. After another hour of passionately staring at the monitor, Qian Shang snapped angrily, "This cannot be the Princess Do Wan. Where is her cargo? I see nothing that confirms the report of wooden crates protecting the art treasures."
"Odd," murmured Qian Shang. "The steel plates of the hull and superstructure look scattered around the wreck. It looks as if the ship was burst apart."
Qian Shang's face went pale.
"This wreck cannot be the Princess Do Wan," he repeated.
"Move the ROV around the stern," Chan Zhang ordered the operator. In a few minutes, the little underwater prowler stopped, and the operator zoomed the camera in on the lettering across the stern of the hulk. There was no mistaking the name, Princess Yung Tai, Shanghai.
"It is my ship."
Qian Shang's eyes were stricken as he stared into the monitor.
"Could it have been salvaged without your knowledge?" asked Chan Zhang.
"Not possible,"
No treasure that immense could have remained hidden all these years. Pieces of it would have most certainly surfaced.
Shall I order the crew to prepare the submersible?
Yes, yes, Chin Chang said anxiously. I must have a closer look.
Chin Chang hired his own engineers to design the submersible he named Sea Lotus. She was built at a company in France that specialized in deep undersea vehicles. He had watched over every aspect of her construction. Unlike most submersibles, where the requirements of the equipment came before the comfort of the crew, the Sea Lotus was built more like an office than a Spartan chamber for scientific study. She was a pleasure craft to Chin Chang. He trained himself in her operation and often piloted her around the Hong Kong harbor shortly after she was built, making suggestions for modifications to suit his personal demands. He also ordered a second submersible built, called Sea Jasmine. Her purpose was to act as backup in case Sea Lotus suffered mechanical problems while on the seabed. An hour later, Chang's private submersible was rolled out of her compartment onto the stern of the salvage vessel and stationed beneath the modernistic A-frame that would lift her out and into the water. When all systems were checked, the co-pilot stood at the hatch, waiting for Chin Chang to enter.
I will pilot the craft alone, he said imperiously.
Captain Chun Jiang looked up at him from the deck.
Do you think that wise, sir? You are unfamiliar with these waters.
I am quite familiar with the operation of the Sea Lotus. You forget, Captain, I created her.
I will go down alone. It is for me to be the first to see the treasure stolen from our country all these years. I have dreamed too long of this moment to share it.
Chun Jiang shrugged and said nothing. He merely nodded for the submersible's co-pilot to stand aside as Chin Chang descended the ladder down through the tower that prevented rough water from cascading into the open hatch leading to the control and pressure chamber. He pulled the hatch closed and sealed it, then turned on the life support systems. Diving to 430 feet was child's play for a vessel built to withstand the immense squeeze that water exerted at depths of 25,000 feet. He sat in a comfortable chair of his own design, facing the control console and a large viewing window on the bow of the submersible. Sea Lotus was swung out over the water by the A-frame, away from the ship's fantail, where she hung for a few moments until her rocking motion ceased. Then she was lowered into Lake Michigan. Divers released the lift hook and made a final check of the exterior before Chin Chang took her into the frigid depths.
You are free of the lift line and cleared to descend, Chun Jiang's voice came over the communication speaker.
Flooding ballast tanks, Chin Chang replied. Chun Jiang was too experienced an officer to allow his employer to override his responsibilities as captain of the Jade Adventurer. He turned to an officer and issued an order unheard by Chin Chang.
Have the Sea Jasmine prepared to launch as a safety precaution.
Do you expect trouble, sir?
No, but we cannot allow harm to come to Chin Chang.
The Sea Lotus quickly slipped out of sight beneath the waves and began her slow fall to the bottom of the lake. Chin Chang stared through the viewing window into the dark green water as it magically went black, and he saw his reflection inside the pressure chamber. His eyes were cold, his mouth was in a tight line, unsmiling. Within the brief span of an hour, he had gone from a man of supreme confidence to someone who looked sick and tired and baffled. He did not like what he saw in the nebulous face staring back at him, seemingly outside in the depths. For the only time in his life that he could remember, he felt a growing surge of anxiety. The treasures had to be somewhere inside the broken hulks, he told himself over and over, as the submersible sank ever deeper into the cold waters of the lake. They had to be. It was inconceivable that someone had come before.
The descent took less than 10 minutes, but to Chin Chang the seconds passed like hours. He gazed into pure blackness before switching on the exterior lights. It was also becoming cold inside the chamber, and he set a small heating unit to 70 degrees. The echo sounder indicated the bottom was coming up fast. He allowed a small amount of pressurized air to flow into the ballast tanks to slow his descent. On deep water dives beyond 1,000 feet, he would have dropped weights attached to the keel of the submersible. The flat, barren lake bed emerged under the lights. He adjusted the ballast and stopped 5 feet from the bottom. Then Chin Chang turned on the electric thrusters and began banking in a wide circle. "I am on the bottom," he called to his support crew above. "Can you see where I am in relation to the wreck?" "The sonar shows you only 40 yards west of the starboard side of the main wreckage," Zhang answered. Chin Chang's heartbeat raced in anticipation. He banked the Sea Lotus until it was moving parallel to the hull, and then brought the sub upward until it passed over the railing along the edge of the forward cargo deck. He saw the cranes looming out of the black void and banked to miss them. Now he was over one of the cargo holds. Hovering the submersible and tilting its stern upward so the lights beamed down, his eyes strained into the darkness as he stared into the gaping cavern. With indescribable dread, he saw that it was empty. Then something moved in the shadows. At first he merely thought it was a fish, but then it moved up from the black of the cargo hold and materialized into an unspeakable monstrosity, an apparition that belonged in another world. Slowly it rose, as if levitated in air like some hideous creature from the murky abyss, and moved toward the submersible. On the surface, Captain Chun Zhang stared with mounting apprehension as the research vessel he'd sighted earlier had turned on a 90-degree course and was now facing the Jade Adventurer. Abruptly presenting its bows after having showed its starboard broadside, the research vessel now revealed a United States Coast Guard cutter that it had shielded from view. Now both vessels were traveling at full speed directly toward the Chinese salvage ship.